I shall now go to my second guest in this segment. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good.
You're in good form?
Yeah, I am.
I started with you and then I went over to Teresa. So give us a little bit of your own background then. You were in college and I suppose, like everyone else, you've come to understand what epilepsy is then.
Yeah, well, when I was first diagnosed when I was 10, I was too young to understand it. So I suppose back at that stage, my parents were worse hit than I was by it because I was still young and I didn't really get the whole concept of how serious or dangerous it could have been. That hit my parents hard to start with when I was 10. And then by the time I was grown out of it, when I was 12 or 13, I was starting to understand, you know, what it involved and what it entailed. I suppose the fact I grew out of it, there was, you know, a huge sense of relief, like with me and my parents. And then when I was re-diagnosed, it kind of made it all harder. Second time around, it made it harder to come to terms with having the epilepsy back. And
well, on that, yeah, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but how did you feel at that time when it came back to haunt you, so to speak, when it came back? How did you feel?
I suppose, well, it hit me when I was in my final year of college, so that was a tough year. Like, it kind of messed up a lot of plans that I had at the year and what I was going to do. I decided to finish college after third year instead of progress on, you know, to get better and to make sure my health was the first priority.
Yeah.
And I felt angered by the doctors who had told me when I was 12 that's it, you're okay, you've done the medicine thing, you know, it's after curing you. That nobody had told me when I was 12 that there was a chance of it coming back. They sent me off, that was it, you know, there was no further checkups, or, you know, they never said, right, we'll do a yearly test on you or something to make sure you're okay. But, you know, nothing had happened from the time I was 12 till I was 20.
What did you study in college?
I was studying architectural technology, so it was a pretty intense course that could have triggered. It could have triggered it off again. At the time, obviously, I didn't know that. So it definitely had an effect in college and my college life, you know.
Okay. Did you get to finish the course, Sarah?
I did, yeah.
And are you working now?
No, I am working, yeah. Luckily, my epilepsy isn't, it's not as serious as some of the kinds out there. Mine occurs nocturnally when I'm asleep, so it doesn't occur too often. I'd only have 3 or 4 seizures a year, maybe.
Okay.
And it's controlled by medicine, so I'm one of the lucky ones that it doesn't completely, like, control my life, and I can still continue to do, like, a lot of things without it affecting me.
What's it like for a young 20-year-old with epilepsy now? What barriers do you come up against? That, to be fair, people wouldn't see, but you go, oh, can't really do that.
Well, the first one would be telling people, like, you know, you're out and you're meeting people. You have to be careful who you tell and who you don't tell. And, you know, when you tell someone you have epilepsy, you know, they don't know how to react, I suppose, and they don't know, you know, you can't explain to them. You can't sit down and explain it all to them, so they automatically think the worst, you know.
All right.
And I'd have to...
Do you feel as though you're putting a fear into them?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, when you're telling them you have epilepsy, yeah, they are. They're scared and they see, like, what happens on telly and, you know, they think of the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And
As I did.
Yeah, it's not always like that. Like, mine are quite mild and... I'd just go into an absence and I'd come out of it very quickly, like 2 or 3 minutes and it's over. And as I said, I only have them maybe every 6 months, so mine aren't serious. But the first thing people think is that, you know, it's that you're dropping on the floor and that it's you're unconscious and stuff, and that they need to go call in ambulances and that they get frightened. And
the feeling that I get would, I suppose, in an ideal world, then if the whole of Ireland knew what is known in this room, it would be an easier subject to deal with, I suppose.
I think, yeah, like, you can't really publicly go and explain it to everyone, but yeah, like, a lot of people just think the worst, or they think the opposite. They walk past you on the street if you're having a fit or something. Like, there's kind of two different reactions to it. It's either too little or too much. Like, there's two extremes to how people react to it, like, and you need them to react somewhere in the middle.
In your lifetime, what would you like to see happen in relation to epilepsy?
I think that it's made more aware to the public, like, that there needs to be more research, I suppose, done into it and more questions asked, because, you know, the big question is, you know, what is it and how it manifests in someone's brain, and like, if there's any long-term cure other than medication like, or, you know, how the people react to it and what to do. You know, there needs to be more medical advice given to people, the general public, about like how to react if someone's taking a fit, or, you know, and then the workplace, the work environment, people have to give people the benefit of the doubt that are working with people with epilepsy, that they're going to need more time off. They're going to have to go to doctor's appointments, that, you know, they're well able and capable of working.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like any other illness. It's like someone with cancer, that they can still continue to work, you know.
You're working away. Are you working in the construction business, architecture?
I'm not, no. I decided that for a few years I'd drop out of that to get myself better. So I'm not doing something that's as stressful, and I'm working for myself. So my hours are more flexible, and if I need, you know, if I need to relax and rest, I can. And
you're your own boss, Sarah?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Have you got any employees?
I don't. I work alongside my dad, so.
So there's a nice understanding there anyway.
Yeah, there is. Like, he'll understand if I take a fit or whatever, that I'll need a few days to recover, and that's all right. And over the last 7 years, I've had to leave three jobs, you know, between getting sick and stuff. It just, you know, every time I'd pick myself up, I'd end up getting sick again. I just need to take the time off. And, you know, the easiest thing, rather than trying to explain it to them, is to just leave, like.
You've got good time for your dad. You live with him and you work with him.
Yeah, I would, yeah. But at the same time, it's probably, it affects him more than it affects me, because we're so close.
Right.
You know, he, you know, taken back by it all than I'd be. Like, you know, he often blames himself and wonders, like, you know, is it something him and my mum, like, in their genes or whatever? They take it harder as parents, I think, than the person who actually has the epilepsy. It's your parents that, like, take the burden and the guilt of it all.
Hope life works out well for you, and the best of luck with both your lives, actually. Thanks, Teresa, for being honest and candid. It's nice chatting to you. So goodbye.
Thanks.
And Sarah, nice talking to you, and the best of luck with everything.
All right, thanks a million.
Margaret, for all what the show has shown up about epilepsy, what does a person do if someone has an epileptic fit?
Try to cover a huge amount in a short space of time. It would take much longer than what we've been doing here tonight. But generally speaking, seizures are divided into two types. So I'll just deal very briefly with first aid for the one people think about when they think about epilepsy, the tonic-clonic, the person falls to the ground. Okay, the first thing you do is remain calm. Once a seizure has started, you cannot stop it. It can last from 90 seconds to maybe 4 to 5 minutes.
Right.
So you let it take its course. You cushion the head, put something under the head, maybe a cardigan or whatever you have on your person, so in the event that you don't want them injuring their head. They'll work away in the seizure. Once the seizure is over, you put them in what we call the recovery position, which is putting them on their side. You know, sometimes because their bodily functions are gone awry during that few minutes, they could have incontinence. So maybe something like a coat or something put over their waist downwards. You speak calmly to them, reassuringly to them. People react in different ways. Some people come to and they'll have a horrific headache, or they'll want to sleep for the day. But I've known people that recover within 20, 30 minutes, have a cup of tea, and they're back doing their business again. With regards to other types of seizures, the main thing is that you keep the person out of danger, that you speak in a calm way to them, in a non-aggressive way, and you just guide them away from, as I said, possible danger. But the main thing there, it's as important to not do certain things when a person is having a tonic-clonic seizure. And there are three things we say. You do not put anything into the person's mouth, because a bitten tongue will heal, but broken jaw and broken teeth take an awful lot longer. The second thing you don't do is try and restrain the person, because as I said already, the seizure will take its course. You could actually break their limbs if you try to restrain them. And you do not give them anything to eat or drink. For example, if it's the first time you've seen a person having a seizure, if the person is after injuring themselves, for example, in certain circumstances where the woman has a seizure but she's pregnant, or sometimes we encourage people with epilepsy to have ID on them, some kind of identification. And if you can find that on their person, you will know exactly what to do. People say, how do you remain calm? For God's sake, you've heard people give examples here tonight. There's nothing calm about it. But sometimes, you know, knowledge is a powerful thing.
Please.
And when you know what we've been talking about tonight, and if you've listened to it, and hopefully you will have learned, panicking will not do a person with epilepsy any good at all.
So we've come to the end of this show. A very fascinating and a very interesting insight into epilepsy. Margaret, you've come round and joined me again.
Yes.
That was a nice experience for me. I've learned a hell of a lot in an hour.
That's great. And I know Baye you have actually, Ciarán, and the fact that you were so open and honest, that's what we wanted. You see, we knew what we were doing. We knew that bringing somebody like yourself in, who really was honest enough to say that you had no knowledge, prior knowledge of epilepsy at all, was actually quite good, because you would be representing the ordinary man on the street and asking those questions, and maybe, you know, your mind was open enough to learn so much. And really, at the end of the day, it's about getting it out there. Brainwave are here so that people shouldn't feel alone, that we're here. There's no point in having the service if people don't know of our existence. There's over 3,500 people in the Midlands with epilepsy, and that's not counting the people who are being currently being diagnosed at the moment, because it takes a while. Yeah. People who will be diagnosed in a month down the road. You know, epilepsy has been around as long as Methuselah, where our phone number is 05793 46790. But because I cover Laois, Offaly, Longford and Westmeath, you could get this voicemail when you ring us, and that turns people off. But I'm quite good at getting back. So if you leave your name and number, I'd be there for you.
It's been wonderful to hear such candid stories and honesty, and I've a lot more understanding of it. So I suppose to end on a positive note, and it's all been good and positive, it's about breaking down the stigma, getting a little bit of understanding and a bit of awareness out there.
Yeah, and you said yourself, the people around this table tonight are all very strong people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think feet firmly on the ground and priorities in place. And I'm not saying this for shock effect, but it could happen to anybody. Epilepsy can happen to anybody. Just remember that.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure to meet you all. Safe home. Thanks, Margaret Bassett.
Thank you,
You've
Ciarán.
Been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ciarán. Thank you. Thank you.